Today on The Journey.
The Christian community is not a place where I go in and make sure my personal preferences are practiced and known and everybody comes around to my way of thinking on these disputable matters.
What are the essential characteristics of the kingdom of God on earth? Moreover, what can you do to destroy them? And what can you do to maintain them? Ron Moore talks about that on today's broadcast and offers practical guidance on keeping the peace of God in your heart and your church. Also, please note our offer of Ron's book study titled Romans. There he makes the foundational truths of the Christian faith understandable and clear. Romans is available as a digital download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part two of the message, Weak and Strong, on the Journey.
So last time we were together, we said that every person who enters worship brings in some baggage. We often think of baggage in a negative way. It doesn't have to be. Baggage is the experiences we have had and the expectations we have. And so we pack them in the compartments of our heart. And when we come into worship, we have these experiences and we have these expectations. They're part of who we are. Now, there's a deeper level, too. Not only do we have these experiences and not only do we have these expectations, but we're also at different stages of the spiritual journey. So how does this thing called Christian community work when we're that different? Well, that's what Paul addresses in Romans 14. So take your Bibles and turn there. After putting forth this theological foundation in the first 11 chapters, Paul in chapter 12 begins some rubber meets the road application. And here in 14, he deals with some debates that are going on in the Roman church. Roman church made up of Gentiles, non-Jews, and Jewish population. And there were two big issues going on in the Roman church that Paul is addressing. May have been other issues, but two that he addresses. The first one was this issue of eating meat or not eating meat. We don't know where the issue came from. It could have been a religious dietary thing. We're just not sure. Paul doesn't say. He just says the issue's there. And so Paul addresses this issue that some in the church are saying, man, if you're a real Christian, you don't eat meat. And others say, no, if you're a real Christian, you get over the weakness of not being able to eat meat, and you do eat meat. It's not a big deal. The other issue really was between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews have this rich theological heritage, right? I mean, they're God's chosen people. The Old Testament, they see their history. In the Old Testament, they had these special days, Day of Atonement, the Sabbath, the Passover. Well, they come into the church, and they want to put that on the church calendar. And the Gentiles say, time out. We're just as much a Christian as you are. We never had those days. They don't mean anything to us. In fact, you make a big deal out of this day and this day and this day. Every day is a special day when you follow Jesus Christ. So here we have these disputable matters going back and forth in the early church. Now, to be clear, there are certain essentials in the Christian faith that we would die for, and many have died for. Issues like this. In the early church, there was a thing called the rule of faith. The authority of God's inerrant word, not disputable. That God exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not disputable. The substitutionary atonement of Christ, no debate there. The Holy Spirit brings the benefits of Christ's saving work to those who believe in Him. True Christians are to unite with the local church and submit to the authority of the church. True Christians are to live holy lives conducive to the spread of the gospel. God will judge the world and receive His own at the end of history. Non-disputable issues. So what would be some debatable issues in our day? Giving would be one. Is it tithing in the Old Testament, 10%, or in the New Testament? We're living under grace, and it's grace-giving, some will say. Enjoyment of material things. Some people have no problem about having a house and a boat and a cabin and all this stuff. Others say, no, if you're a real Christian, You don't do that. Debatable things, not in the essentials. Education. Now I send my kid to public school. I want them to be a witness in the community. Now I send my kid to Christian school. I want the Christian doctrine poured in. No, I do homeschool. I'm not going to trust anyone with my kids. Now, none of them are wrong, but we debate those things. They can become wrong, as we'll see. We talked about this, Halloween. You going to dress your kids up or not? Here's one, political convictions. Might we have some discussion on that? Systems of theology. Here's the problem with these issues. If you get me on one, I'll get you on another one. Let me just pick a couple here, all right? So if you say, we have a conviction not to do anything on Halloween, I have no problem with that. But the problem is then when you say, we don't do it, how could any real Christian parent allow their kids to dress up like a Dalmatian and go collect candy from people? So you got me on that one. But then I come to your house and you say, what type of wine would you like with your meal? And I say, well, whoa, wait a minute. I don't drink. And real Christians don't drink. See how this goes? Disputable matters become cyclical judgment. So Paul says, we got to deal with this. He gives 10 things that we need to do regarding these disputable matters. We looked at 4 last week. We saw in 14:1, we should accept each other without motive to conform each other. Number 2, we must accept one another without the smile of contempt. Number 3, we must accept one another without the scowl of judgment. Number 4, we must accept one another as those who will give a personal account before God. And then number 5, we'll start here today. Tear down relationship obstacles. Don't tear down the work of God. Chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. You know what Paul just said? Tag, you're it. It's not about the other person having an issue. It's about you dealing with a person who has an issue. And Paul says, if someone has an issue, then don't put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Don't tear down the kingdom of God for a disputable matter, no matter what your conviction is on it. Why? Look at verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, building everybody up. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Don't destroy the work of God for a disputable matter. Don't hurt someone or destroy a relationship for a disputable matter. Paul says all food is clean. Paul says, I don't have any issue with meat or non-meat. All food's clean. Jesus already said that, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's not about us, is it? It's about others. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. Paul's in your court. Are you going to be committed to mutual edification, to building each other up, or getting your way in the situation? Number 6, be settled in your personal convictions. Look at verse 14. Paul says, as one who is in the Lord, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. We're not talking about the essentials here. Paul says, I've got a conviction here, but if someone else has a different conviction, for him it's unclean. Look at verse 22. Paul says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Ooh, we could stop there, couldn't we? So you don't have to go on a personal evangelism tour around the church to make people come around to your conviction in disputable matters. Whatever it is, Paul says, just keep it between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Paul's saying, blessed are you if you don't make a big thing of your conviction. But the man who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. It's a disputable matter. But I'm on this personal campaign, and I'm going to convince people what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And if in my convincing them, I cause them to go against their personal conviction, what did I cause them to do? I caused them to sin. So be settled in your own convictions. Number 7. Personal sacrifice in disputable matters is honored. Look at verse 15. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your own eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, living a life that pleases God. It is a life of peace with God and others. It's a life of joy, a personal contentment that comes from the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man. Paul says, the Christian community is not a place where I go in and make sure my personal preferences are practiced and known, and everybody comes around to my way of thinking on these disputable matters. Paul says, if you're willing to not make other people stumble, to sacrifice some of the things you may think's right, but another person has conviction that it's wrong, that's honored. That's pleasing to God. You're demonstrating an attitude that other people are more important, that you're willing to lay down some of your things for others. You're demonstrating the attitude of Christ. Number 8, we must build each other up. Look at chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. The strong here are those whose personal convictions allow more freedom. The weak, we saw back in chapter 14, verse 1, were those whose stage of their Christian journey didn't allow them to have the confidence for certain kinds of freedoms and disputable matters. And so Paul says, you who are strong, you're spiritually mature, act like it. Demonstrate it. One of the characteristics of spiritual maturity is this: I'm willing to put down my spiritual preference for you. Let me ask you a question. This process of spiritual growth we're all supposed to be in, right? What are we shooting for here? Christ-likeness. We want to be like Christ. We're never going to get there until we die, but that's the process. We want to become more and more like Christ. Paul already told us in chapter 13, verse 14, to put off the deeds of darkness and clothe yourself with Christ. Now, am I being more Christ-like when I am adamant that my personal preference on these disputable matters are the ones that get through? Is that being Christ-like? Look at verse 3. In case you think that, Paul says, for even Jesus did not please himself. As it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. By the way, that's from Psalm 69, and that was a prophetic psalm talking about the coming of the Messiah. The whole psalm was about rebellious people, and then the Messiah came and he took their rebellion and put it on himself. He didn't please himself, but he gave himself up for the rebellious people. And Paul uses that to say, even Christ didn't come to please himself. Verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written for our instruction, to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Again, we are here to build each other up. Number 9, we must always strive for unity. Look at chapter 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. The beautiful picture of unity in Scripture is of the body, right? You got eyes, you got ears, you got nose, you got hands, you got feet, all these different members, but what are they doing? They're working together to move one direction. And so Paul uses the body of the church. Here we have all these different experiences, different ages, different stages in the Christian walk. But the beauty of the body is we move forward as one person. And there's a reason for that. Look at verse 6. So that with one heart and mouth together, whether in pain or in joy, whether just starting a Christian journey or been at it for a long time, together we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The beautiful picture of unity. One more. We must accept others as Christ accepted us. Look at verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Remember back in chapter 14, verse 1, we said accept means to not just mentally say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, I accept everyone. It means to bring that person who has differences into your life. You accept them, not just words. Anyone can talk. But you demonstrate acceptance. Now, this was particularly an issue in the early church between the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew and the non-Jew. Again, the Jews, quite honestly, looked down their noses at the Gentiles. They had this rich history. And so there was a bit of spiritual smugness there among some of them. And so Paul works here to say, look, Jewish Christians, what a beautiful thing God has done. Chosen people, now he's completed you in Christ. But don't think the Gentiles were just some addendum at the end. He always sent Christ for the Gentiles. Verse 8, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy as it is written. And then he quotes four rapid-fire Old Testament passages. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name. Old Testament passage. And again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. This is the Old Testament, Jewish Christians. This is your literature. God's talking about the Gentiles. He already had them included back when. And again, in Isaiah chapter 12, the root of Jesse will spring up, and one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the early church, there were not only Jews and Gentiles. There were men and women that met together for the first time. You got to realize that men outnumbered women in the Roman culture by a lot. You know why? Because women were thought of as second-class citizens. And so if you had a little girl, many people would take them out in the fields and let them die of exposure. Or they'd go put them on a dung pile outside of town. Can you imagine? The early church would go get those little babies and bring them in and raise them as their own. So for the first time, you had men and women together. Then you had this other group, slave and free, masters and slaves. In the Roman culture, a slave had no legal standing. They were considered a non-person. And here they are, walking in the church with people of high rank and wealth. So the early church said, here's the deal. When a slave comes into our group, I don't care what Rome says. They're part of our community. And it's written that some of the most moving times in the early church or when a slave would walk in and a master would get up and go bow before the slave and wash the slave's feet. In the early church, it was written down that when the service had started and a wealthy person or a person of status came in late, even was a problem back then. If a wealthy person came in late, the person presiding over the service was not to interrupt the service, no matter what. But if a slave came in late, they were to make sure that slave was welcomed. In fact, even if the bishop had to get up and sit on the floor to give the slave his seat. Man, that didn't happen in any other community. That's why the church has always been, when it's working right, this bright light that attracts people. In the church, there's no Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, nor free. We are all one in Christ, standing level at the foot of the cross. Accept others as Christ accepts them. So what's that mean practically? Well, it means that you don't just accept someone for who you want them to be. Some people only accept a person if they're where they should be spiritually, because why isn't everyone where I am? I mean, come on. If you were serious about your spiritual walk, you'd be where I am. That's not unity. Unity is, I accept you where you are. You know what? Because I was there one time. Thank God someone accepted me when I was making a mess. Accept others as Christ accepted you.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Some have said that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Bible compressed into one book. Yet few believers understand its brilliance, color, and depth. Now, Ron Moore makes that easier with his study guide simply titled Romans. This diamond of the New Testament shaped the Protestant Reformation. Its worth is so great that countless Christians have staked their reputations, their lives, and their eternal destiny on its teaching. Learn why when you join Ron in his study of this foundational letter to the Christians of Rome. Romans is yours as an electronic download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
If I said, that person over there, they have a heart for God, what would that person look like? Let me ask you a little different question. What are you doing, believer, to be that person? Someone can look at and say, that man, his heart beats for God. That woman, she is on fire for Jesus Christ. As Paul wraps up his letter to the Romans, he tells us what this heart looks like. Paul says, if you're going to have a heart for God, if you're going to be a person that stands out for Christ, there are three things that need to be happening in your life. One, you're going to have a heart for the gospel. Remember the word gospel? We defined it early on. First, it was a technical term. Your country is at war. Your sons and your husband, your brothers, they're off fighting. And then one day, a guy rides into town and he gives the evangelion, the good news. The war is over. We have won. He's bringing news of victory. That's what gospel means. Always with the news of victory, there is great joy. The war's over. We won. One day that meaning changed. Instead of a physical victory describing victory at war, it became the good news of a spiritual victory. You remember an angel sent by God appeared to a group of terrified shepherds and said, don't be afraid. I bring you evangelion, good news that will cause great joy, because the gospel is always accompanied by joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And that's when the gospel changed forever. No longer a guy running into a city saying the war is over, but Jesus Christ came and gave good news to all.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron's PDF study booklet, Romans. It's available for a donation of any amount when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.